Finally, welcome to my talk. Sorry for the delay in getting started. We had some issues here, but we'll get through it. So today I'm talking about the Apache training project and basically contributing more than code. There's a few people here I don't know, so just a little bit about me. I'm a freelance developer. I've been programming for about 25 years, and I've been involved for Apache for about 7 years, where I mentor several projects. I'm currently the incubator and Apache Minute chairs. But what you might not know about me is for the last 10, probably 15 years, I've actually been doing a bit of teaching, and it's mostly part-time, 2 to 3 day courses. But last year, I decided to actually get a formal qualification in teaching. So I went back to school, got a qualification. And for the last year, I've actually been teaching 2.5 days a week, and assessed about 700 students. So this is what got me interested in the training project. That job is at Open Colleges. I also teach 3 day Android courses at Dynamic Web Training, and I'm a casual academic at the University of New South Wales. So, which I quite like that title, because I joke, I went to university there in the first place, and I think I was pretty casual the first time I went there too. So.
That's fun.
So this is the Apache training project. And so what is it? Well, it's a new incubating project. We've only just started, and it's been a bit slow going, but we'll get there. Now the idea of the project is to generate open source training material. And to create shared resources so that other people can use them. Have you ever come to a conference and noticed that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at one now. But I was going to say, if you let me finish, have you ever come to a conference and, like, there's been several talks on the same project? And there's almost always going to be some common material that's in all those slides. I mean, doesn't it seem like a waste of effort that everyone goes off and creates their own slide deck and then comes here? I'm not saying that those two talks should be identical, but there's surely some shared resources and some shared content that they could use. And isn't that sort of how Apache operates anyway? Like, you know, we make code that's meant to be shared and people use. So it's, yeah. So the long-term goal is to create slide decks, workshops, and labs. And the idea is that people can come along and pick and choose whatever little bits they need, create their own presentations, and give those, and then it's much less effort to be able to do this. And as well as, you know, removing that duplication of effort, you also get many eyes on the content. And again, this is what Apache is good at, you know. We often say that we have far less security issues because we have hundreds of people looking at the code in public. So, but we don't do that with our slide content, generally not anyway. So we can, you know, apply the wisdom of the crowd. We can have people who are experts in the field who might not necessarily be able to come along to these conferences. We'll give talks to be able to give feedback on the talks. It also means that we can create slide decks that are IP-free in terms that, you know, they apply with Apache license and that everyone can use them, and there's no risk of, you know, someone saying, hey, wait a minute, you copied that cat photo from this photographer, and he might not be happy with that. So we can also, as I said, gives a review of the material, and anyone can take that and reuse it. So not only could you use it at other Apache cons, you could use it for internal training at your own companies, or you could use it at other conferences as well. It just sort of makes sense, and I don't really know why this hasn't happened before. What we're not trying to be is we don't want to be a central repository of all training material. Like, if your project has created its own material, I know, for example, the Spark project has some very nice training material, like, and you want to keep that in your project, then that's fine. You don't have to donate to us. or move your stuff over or anything like that. We're not trying to create official material. Obviously, we're going to be talking about, you know, Apache projects, but we're not going to be limited to just that. And we don't want to provide certification. That's just a whole big can of worms, and we don't want to get involved in that at all. So we'll leave that for other people to sort out. So if there's any questions, by the way, just raise your hand, and we'll have a bit of chat as we go along. The audience is small enough to do that. So there's a few issues to sort out. We're not really creating software. We sort of are, but it's not really. So do we even have to make releases? That's like, I don't know. It's like, it's a little difficult. So we have actually made one official Apache release, and the process sort of worked, even though it wasn't code, and it was more around the IP side of things. By having a release process, we had people carefully look at it and find a few things that needed fixing up. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. We also have run into a few problems where someone comes along, here's a slide deck, we want to donate this, and it's like, okay, that's fine. So did you create the slides? Oh, yeah, I created the slides. Okay, so you can sign an ICLA, that's all good. Yeah, fine. Where did these images come from? Oh, we got the designer to work on those. So do we have permission to use those? Maybe, I think so. Well, we need them to get us signed on. And it's like, and where did these images come from? Oh, we got them off GitHub. It was just like, you know, you've got to be much more careful about the who has created all this content and who, if they have actual permission to give it to you. So, again, we all managed to work all these issues out, but it's something that you've got to be aware of, is just that quite often slide decks are actually created from templates, and those templates come from somewhere. And those templates, sometimes they're free, sometimes you pay money for them, but generally the licensing terms of those templates is you can't really redistribute it. So even though you may not be using the exact original template, you are using what it looks like, maybe. So there's another sort of grey area there that we've got to work out.
I said, but look and feel can't be copyrighted, as we all know from Apple v. Microsoft.
I'm not going to get into an argument about that.
I'm actually most interested in your last question. Is the Apache license the best license for content?
Yeah.
It is? Oh, you don't know?
We don't know.
It's by definition, because all software released from the ASF
have to be, yeah. And this is the problem. It is probably not the best license for content. It's a good license for software. So you have to treat the content as
software.
But yeah, we have to release stuff under the Apache license, so we have no choice.
It's software that runs in the webware.
Yeah. Well, we've sort of got around a bit in that we're actually sort of writing a little code when we're creating the content, which I'll get to in a minute. The licensing can also be more complex. I mentioned the templating thing, you know, the fact that you might have other people who have worked on the slides and provide graphical elements. Licensing around fonts is horribly complicated. And that, you know, there's in terms of distribution as well, that can cause a lot of issues. So we're still working through some of these things and trying to work out what the best way to do it is. And some of these, we don't have the answers yet. So, but, you know, as we go through the process to make more and more releases, we'll work some of these things out. So that's the whole point. But there is a bigger issue. Does anyone want to guess what that bigger issue is? Show of hands, what do you use to make your slides? Who here uses, say, Keynote? No one. Okay. Who here uses PowerPoint? Yeah, we've got a few hands. Who here uses Google Slides? Yeah, there's a couple of hands who haven't come up. What else do you use?
Open Office,
yes.
LibreOffice,
Open Office. Okay.
I use this framework as well.
Yeah?
I can't remember the name of it, but...
Okay, this is maybe not what you think it is.
Okay.
It may use parts of what you think it is.
Okay, I recognize the arrows at the bottom.
Impress.js?
No, it's not Impress.
I've used Impress.
I can But it's all done in JSON and YAML.
Yes, but we're not using that, so.
Okay. Well, what's he thinking of?
He's thinking of reveal.js.
That's the one.
Reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am using reveal.js, yeah. But that's the output. It's not what I'm using to write the slides.
Okay.
So, which I'll show you in a minute.
What is the VI for the slides?
I was, actually.
I was today.
Yeah.
Of course, I couldn't commit, but it's a different issue.
That's a different issue. So, yeah, so that's the issue. So of all those hands that went up, so there's multiple different formats that you can make this stuff in. You could sort of convert between them reasonably well, mostly, sort of, a little bit. How do you find version control and editing, those sort of things?
The pits
are awful.
Yeah.
Except for things like reveal, which is textual.
Yes.
You can't. I mean, the other formats are binary.
So this is the issue. It's all the slide file formats. And they do have some great advantages and neat features. Google Slides has really good collaboration features. PowerPoint is, you know, has lots of nice graphics and transitions and, you know, you end up, well whatever, you know. You can, you'll notice my slides are fairly minimal. But, you know, they don't have a lot of images and stuff on them. But there's also a lot of disadvantages, and particularly if you want to collaborate with a large number of people and share it. So the first problem we had was that we actually had to try and come up with what would be a reasonable common format that we could use. And we've just picked one because we think it's a good one, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that that's the only one we use, or that will be the one that we use forever. You know. So you were right with text. Text formats are great. They're easy to edit, easy to translate into other languages, easy to search, easy to put under version control, and there's other, you know, things there as well. They're easy to read. You don't have to actually, you can look at all the text in one go. To get a gist of it. So what we ended up using was a thing called ASCII Doctor. Has anyone heard of this? No? Okay. ASCII Doctor uses simple markdown style, and it produces quite nice output. It can generate slides, obviously, which we've got here. It can generate PDFs. It can generate HTML, and it can generate ebooks. And there's probably a few other plugins that you can put in there to generate other formats as well. So it can generate quite a lot of formats from the same content. While it's reasonable, it's very simple markup, it makes reasonably stylish output without a lot of effort. And it's very extendable. You can style it quite well. That's on my next slide, actually. And it's also has an open source license, which is compatible with Apache, so it's licensed under the MIT license. So, the website's there if you want to find out more about it. Their own documentation for the project is written in ASCII Doctor, which is nice. So they've got lots of good examples and stuff to there. So the slides are using reveal.js. So that just generates HTML and CSS. The CSS is pretty simple, so you can modify that yourself. It comes with a few standard things that you can use, but once you start making more complex sides, you're going to have to edit a little bit of that CSS. So this may be a little bit unfamiliar territory to some people who generate slide decks, because they may not be programmers. But I think for the audience that we have here at Apache, most people have some programming experience. Not all, but most, and most can hack a little HTML together or do it. But I'll show you some examples soon and you'll see how easy it is. So to actually build your slide deck, so you'll write your slides in the markup language, and then it gets compiled and it produces HTML output. There are three main ways of doing that. You can use Ruby, you can use Node, or you can use Maven. We happen to have just decided to use Maven, but that's because one of our committers knows Maven inside out. and I was very good at that. So he went off and did that, and it was like, thanks, we don't have to think about anything about that or whatsoever. We'll just take your template that you've got and, you know, modify it each time that we need to do so. If you do need any help with Maven, does everyone know Christopher Dutz?
My name.
No? Okay. Yep, he's the man to speak to. So, Reveal.js has some really neat features. It has speaker notes and timer, which I'm looking at the moment, but you can't see on the screen. It's got some keyboard navigation, as you can see. I can switch back between slides like so. I can also, this is probably a bad idea, but I can also do that, and you get sort of like a big overview of all your slides, and you can switch between them. Oh, good, that worked. I think you can blank the screen out and do things like that. So it's as featured as, well, it's fairly minimal. It is as featured as most other slide presentation type programs. So you can do that. It does have one other feature that I quite like, is that it has vertical slides. So if you notice the little arrows back and forth there, you can have arrows down. I'll show an example of that in a minute. And it means that you can make a presentation and have extra content in it. So, you know, if you're running out of time, you can skip that, or you can make it so that you can give this in half an hour or an hour, just depending on how much time that you have. So that's sort of good. The markup is fairly simple, and I'll show you some of that in a minute. And one of the other features is that it prints quite nicely to PDF. They've actually put PDF support in there, so because sometimes conferences want a copy of the slides beforehand, they want it in PDF format, so you can just go print to PDF, hand them that, and that's it. So, the speaker notes is quite nice too, which I'll show you. So to actually present it, you can just open it up in the browser. It also has a self-hosted web server, if you really want to do that. So you can do some extra functionality. And the very latest version, the speaker notes work without the self-hosted web server, but in previous version you needed that for the speaker notes to work. But they've got it to work without that, which is quite nice.
Is that the feature where you could like have people on their own devices?
It's web server. You can do whatever you want. I think it's Tomcat under the hood or something like that. So whatever you want. But there are other ways to generate dynamic content as well, which I'll show you in a little minute. So you've got a slide deck and you want to convert it. What do you do? Well, you can copy the text, give it some markup, convert the assets, and profit. Maybe. I don't know.
That's 5 steps. It's only supposed to be 3 steps.
I know it's supposed to only be 3 steps, but
the underpants notes to add additional steps.
So, it's generally most of the slide formats you could copy and paste the text out of it. And it's very easy to add the markup, you know, which you'll see in a minute. And some of the graphical elements and some of the layout, if you've got a complicated layout, starts to get a bit more complex. That's when you might run into trouble. Probably the first issue you will run into is, like, how do I do 2 columns side by side? Right. The answer is there's many ways of doing it. I might show you one. See how we go. So, what sort of stuff can you display? Well, obviously, straight text. what I might do actually is... Just give me 1 second. Because my computer rebooted, of course, it didn't start up everything that I wanted. Yeah. Alright, maybe I won't show you that. Yeah, that's starting up. Alright, so here's not this talk, but the talk I gave this morning. Oh, thank you very much. So you can sort of see what the markup looks like here. So these are slide titles. Each of these blocks of text is a single slide. The little stars at the front are bullet points. So you can see how it, you know, quite easily gets converted. This is speaker notes here. Anyway, so I'll just go through some of the features. Let me get that off the screen. Yeah. So plain text, you just write as plain text. Titles, you just put double equal signs in front of them. And they become your slide titles, like the word titles there. This little exclamation mark means no title. So there's a couple of little subtle tricks, and you have to look up the documentation to find out, you know, what exactly is that you need to do there. So you can do images. That's my cat. I didn't steal that off the internet.
What's his or her name?
Woosk.
Woosk.
Woosk. Are you going to publish these slides on the internet?
Yes.
Okay, so the cat will be on the internet.
The cat will be on the internet. All right. But I have permission to distribute that photo. I give myself. Woosk is 19 years old. Oh. So she's doing pretty good for an old cat.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's not. She's frequently not happy. It's like, where's my dinner, human? You know, pat me.
So to insert
an image here, all you have to do is go image, colon, colon, name of the image, and then you can give it some properties. And those properties can include things on how to scale it, what alt tag shows up, whether you have a caption on it, all those sort of things.
Can you put attribution in there, or attribution URL?
Yes, you can. The whole ASCII docs came, the original purpose of it was to write textbooks. So they have all the referencing and indexing, and some of that stuff is not so applicable to slides, but it's got all those features in there, so they treat that seriously. So
can you... have images from a shared part of the repository as well as the local repository?
This is a URL. So in this case, I've just put cat.jpg, and I've actually specified a directory in some of the configuration, and it just looks for all the images in that directory. But that can be a URL and point to anywhere on the internet. I generally don't want live URLs in slides because you never know if you're going to get proper internet access, or if the image changes, or anything like that. But
for example, if this is an Apache thing, you could put an Apache feather in the root directory of the entire thing, and then everybody gets the same feather.
We haven't done that yet. That is on the list of things to do. It's recognized as an issue because we've currently got 20 Apache feathers floating around the repo. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have started looking at that literally like 50 minutes ago.
Isn't there one in the logos directory?
There is one in the logos directory where we could use the absolute URL to that, for example. That would be one way of solving the problem and not even have it in our repo altogether. A question over there?
I think it embeds the images as like a BASIC64 encoded image object inside the HTML, so I don't think live images on the internet are really an issue.
More about
building time down
unless you want a smaller file, maybe use that option.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you almost never have internet access, well, good internet access when you're at a conference. And
oh, right, but as long as you have it at build time.
Yeah, that's probably fine. I think it does go off and get it, I believe, yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah. No, it's quite nice. You can also have video and embed it in much the same way. It'll also allow you to embed YouTube and Vimeo videos as well, just by giving the hashes to the videos, which is sort of quite nice.
Does the video player have controls?
Yep, it has controls. You can also say, as I've said there, start at 30 seconds, end at 60 seconds. So you can do some simple things like that, which are sort of quite nice. You can also do background images. And background video, but I'm not going to inflict that upon you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd ever make a slide deck that had background video on it. It'd just be...
I've seen good ones. Yeah. It has to be slow
moving. Has to be slow moving.
Ambient, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just sort of subjects I talk about don't lend themselves to that. Well, maybe my imagination is too limited, one of the two.
Star Trek thing, stars coming right?
Well, if you went to see Chris has done quite a lot with this as well. If you went to go see him, one of his slide decks, he's actually, because this is HTML, you can put whatever HTML you want in it as well. So he actually has like a Star Wars sliding, scrolling text introduction.
Very nice.
So, violate somebody's
ID. Yeah, probably. But so you can have bullet lists. This is just the text of how you put it in there. So it's just a star with that, and how it shows up. You can have, you know, bullet lists nested inside each other. You can actually control what the bullets look like. You can replace them with icons or graphics. You've got a lot of control over what you want to do. But the way I actually like this is that you don't actually spend so much time when you're initially creating the slide deck worrying about positioning and placement of things. You're worried about getting the actual content down. And I think that workflow actually works better in that you just can write all the information down, chunk it up into blocks, move it around a bit, change the, you know, the order of things, while you're getting all your ideas together, and then after you finish that, you can rely more on the, you know, more formatting things. The I tend to find if you work in PowerPoint or Keynote, you tend to get caught up in the details a bit too much. Sometimes, anyway, I don't know. Is that just me? Is that anyone else?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So, you know, that's one way of doing this. Speaker notes are very simple. You just put this. Dot notes, and you know, put your notes here. Those two minus signs there mean this is a text block. What's interesting about this is that dot notes is actually a CSS class, so you can add your own classes like that as well. Let me just show you one of those. All right. So I was talking before about, you know, how could you get the... why do you do that? How you could put things in columns side by side. So here we have a code block showing you how to put videos in. There's the video that I'm playing. And then I just have this dot columns up there. And that is just relates to... Oops. I need the CSS file, and that just relates down to this class in the CSS called columns that just sets the column count to 2. You could do that with floats, you could do that with flex, you could do that with, what's another positioning framework for CSS? Whatever you want to use, whatever you're familiar with, you could use. So, but that's the simplest way I found to make a couple of columns. So, but it means you can also, you know, make text smaller or bigger by putting those classes on there. You can change the color of text by putting classes on there. So you can do a whole lot of simple styling very simply just with that markup. And it doesn't get in the way of the rest of the text.
And is the CSS part of this particular, obviously part of the, yep, this particular project, but yep, is there a generic CSS that's...
Well, all I've added here is big, small, and columns. And I don't think I'm even using big or small.
But where's the other four red lines?
So the rest of this, that's sort of the default template that we came up with. And it was based on one of their original themes, which we've modified and changed a little bit. So currently we don't have that checked into any central repository. Maybe we should actually make up here's a sample template for you to use type thing.
Is there a notion of a CSS include?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, we could pull all this out, make it common, put it somewhere else, Yeah. The reason why I initially didn't do that is that I assumed that most people would want to style their own. What? Nah. Nah. Okay. Some people would like to style their own slides and, you know.
So cater for the minority.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll probably put that somewhere so that you can get access to it. There's nothing too. I mean, if you look through it, there's nothing too amazingly complex there. And most of it is just to do with it's more of the way that the reveal JS framework works and how it's putting stuff on the screen there. So it's not that complex. Though usually the less I want to play around with CSS, the better, other than some really basic stuff. Well, you know, you can just use the default styles and live with that there.
Black on white.
Yep.
Two sizes.
I think we have white on black and black on white. That's currently the two. Whoops. The two styles we have. Yep. All right. There we go. So that's speaker notes. So this is what the speaker view actually looks like, and it actually has several different views. This is sort of the standard one, where this is the current slide, that's the next slide, you've got the time, and what's going. Yeah, it is 7 o'clock in the morning for me, or 7:30. And then, yeah, if you've got any speaker notes, then the speaker notes appear here. And as I said, there's a couple of different layouts there, depending on what you like, so that works quite nice. The only problem I've had with it, as you saw, rather than my running out of power, was that currently, for some reason, on these projectors here, I can't make it full screen properly. I don't know whether that's a Mac issue or a Firefox issue or a Chrome issue or whatever, but it's a little. So there's quite a lot of other features that it can do, and I'm not going into them. I believe there's another training talk on, and you're going to cover more on
a little bit of history, motivation, vision. Yeah.
Not this.
more the technical part behind it, like how you copy the template, how you then compile it.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully it's a good synergy with the talk that I have here. So
we were trying for.
Yeah. 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 So there's a whole lot of other features. You can embed HTML directly in your slides in that document there. And there's a way to make it pass through and then have markup inside the HTML that gets parsed as well, which is quite nice.
Do you mean like syntax
that way? Yeah, no, I've got that coming up. Yeah. No, I mean more that, like, you can put some extra divs or spans in there if you want to style it with CSS, but if you put any divs or spans in there, then what you're putting in is HTML, so any of the content inside that is treated as HTML, not as markdown. But you can put an extra tag at the end of the HTML tag, say, this is actually markdown inside me, so it'll actually process both of them, which is sort of nice. You can use, as I said, flex or grid layouts, and it also has a whole lot of plugins that do diagrams. So you can draw little ASCII diagrams, and they actually get published to nice, pretty diagrams.
Well, go the other way, because I really want some really cool ASCII diagram.
Well, you can display ASCII diagrams if you want, but you know. Anyway, I'm not going to go into this. This is the little vertical slide feature, which is quite nice. Which is, you just have three equal signs rather than two, and it means that you can skip them. If I hit escape here, you can see that they're. Oh, nope. There we go. It's got out of sync again. Hopefully it won't. Oh no, it's not out of sync, it's back in sync. This didn't show up quite properly, but you can actually have conditional slides as well. You can like have hash defines, and if defs, and if not defs. So you can define a whole lot of constants at the front of your slide deck, and some slides will get included and sometimes will not get included, which is sort of automatic, which is sort of nice. So you can make up several presentations from the same slide deck and say, okay, I'm presenting for this sort of audience. You know, turn on a couple of flags, and then the slides are going to be appropriate for the audience that you've got there. rather than having to hide slides manually or so forth. So it's a lot less work for doing things like that.
Can you link those to the timer on the speaker node? So, for instance, if I get to this slide and time is here, don't show this slide.
Don't show this slide? I haven't seen anyone do that, but it would be possible. I mean, this is just HTML and JavaScript. You can get access to the timer. You can hide some of the slides via JavaScript. So, yeah. That would be entirely possible. That's actually an interesting idea. It's like it randomly drops slides from your deck as you're getting towards the end and don't have enough time.
Just have it randomly drop slides from your deck and see if you can figure out what you're supposed to talk about.
That's all I'm speaking
there. Yeah. Well, it might be better than randomly introducing slides. What's it called? I can't remember the name of it, but there's this thing where you get up on stage and they give you a random slide deck from somewhere, which is usually not in English, and it's set on auto forward, and you have to speak to slides that you have never seen. That is incredibly difficult. Yes. Yeah.
PowerPoint karaoke, is that what you
said? Yeah, yeah, it's something like that is what it's called.
Sounds like something from Whose Line Is It?
Yeah. The other thing you can do is, because this is just plain old text files, you can generate that text file from something else. You don't have to hand write it. So you could, for example, write a little bit of Ruby code that generates an ASDoc file, which is just plain text. And that could either be, you know, just bullet points, or it could actually be tokens, because it has this concept of tokens that you can specify, which you can put up you can either include or put up the top of your document, and then whenever that token appears in the rest of the slides, it gets replaced. So your name, for example, you could make your name the token, put it up the top there, and then whenever you just say, just curly brackets name, curly brackets, that gets automatically expanded out to be your name. So that makes it easy to customize and change slides or update them. In this case, this is just a bit of code that is opening up a JSON file, which Whimsy has, and that is working out how many committers are actually in the Apache Software Foundation. So before I run the presentation I gave this morning, I just run a little script. It generates the most up-to-date data for me, and we'll display it. You could go one step further and actually have JavaScript live in the page do that same thing. I don't think we need an up-to-the-minute count of the number of committers we have. Probably up to the day is reasonable. So yeah. It also, I haven't done it there, but you can use highlight.js for the code. So it gives you color coding highlight, and it puts the code boxes in nice sort of grey boxes, gives you scroll bars on them, and so forth. So it actually presents code quite well. So that's another nice feature that it has out of the box. You can replace it with a couple other highlighters too if you don't happen to like highlight.js.
It's Miami, outside.
So far, we've made one release, which is a set of slides for the incubator. And we've got several other donations that are in progress. We should be making a few more releases in the next month, I would guess, as things are at that stage. With a whole lot of conferences and other things going on, I haven't been putting as much attention on this as I would like. But hopefully you're in the audience here so you can help too. Who here was a speaker? Who here has a slide deck that they could donate?
Wouldn't make any sense.
well, that is one thing. Like, often a slide deck on its own doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, and my slide deck was actually just things to remind me of what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Yeah, so actually creating a slide deck that someone else can use is another challenge in itself. You generally need other information and you need extensive speaker notes and maybe other resources as well. As we progress further, we may do that sort of thing. At the moment, we're thinking, well, you need to be experienced with the subject that you're going to talk about, and you have to have done some presentation and be, you know, sort of slightly skilled or experienced at that. All right, that's where we're first aiming. But as time goes on, you know, that may be changed, and we may be able to add more resources. One of the other things that have been contributed is this is a like a GitHub challenge. Like, it's a little like crossword puzzle where you've got to fill in all the Git commands to do stuff. It's impossible.
Yeah. Thank you.
But what we did there, it was like, well, we probably should include the answers, you know, because not everyone would know what they are. And so we're thinking, but, you know, it would be a bit, if you include the answers, then people maybe want to cheat and have a look at them. So we went the path of less resistance, which is we'll just rot 13 all the answers because it's just plain text. So if anyone wants to look at them, they can, but hopefully they'll try the exercise and not, you know, not look at the answers. So we're hoping to get more resources along those lines. We're currently, we've just got a few slides, but we and slide decks, but we want to start making labs and workshops and things that are more along that line that actually impart more knowledge than the traditional standing at the front talking at people. So there was a half a dozen hands there who said they had slide decks and said who they can contribute. I'm certainly happy to help to convert your slides. We'll show you what you have to do. I mean, this slide deck here should have given you some idea of what's required and what's possible. So sign up to the mailing list, have a chat with us, and we'll see what we can do to help you out.
If I have a slide deck that is in Reveal.js format, is that a difficult conversion to ADA?
No, it's just plain text. It's like, sure. You saw what it looked like. Look, I'll show you again. Find where my cursor's gone. Oh, there it is. So this is.
I mean, the markdown is very similar, but you use different delimiters between the slides and stuff.
Yeah, there's a few little minor tricks that you've got to put into.
There are converters.
There are converters, but they can do some of it. But mostly for slide decks, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You just got to copy all the text and then put a bit of markup. Given half an hour, you should be able to get something that's reasonable. You know, cutting up the images. Yes, great.
So if this is the HTML file...
No, this is the ASCII doctor file. This gets converted to HTML.
Sorry, the slides. The slides are in HTML.
Yes, correct.
But where's the speaker notes?
The speaker notes are on my screen.
How do you do that?
I shall show you. Not that I have extensive speaker notes. So that's... If you hit... S. Oh, whoops. If I close this window down, click on here, hit S, that pops up. And then what I control here controls the slides in the background. And you should see...
Does this work on all computers?
Yep. Yep.
It's just
there we go.
Not all computers. It's not going to work on
those
that
can do HTML.
Sorry.
Are the speaker notes scrollable? So that if I have more than four lines of speaker notes...
I believe so. I've never wrote enough speaker notes for that. That's a big issue.
It's just Reveal on the back end, and you can also format them too, so if you wanted to...
Yeah, I've noticed we've got one problem with that template at the moment, is that this little disclaimer is far too big on the next slide. I tried to do a bit of CSS to fix that up, but it's like, nah, I can't be bothered. So, another question.
Yeah, I think this is great. I'm really glad to see it happening, and I'm really excited to see especially foundation-level stuff end up in here. The thing that I think that worries me the most is that this raises the bar for contribution for training material to somebody who can code in this format, especially for complex things that have transitions and diagrams and so on. Are you what about the idea of having training for the training platform?
Yeah, well, this slide deck is sort of the start of that.
Right.
So, and I'm sure we'll get other slide decks that will help that along. And some of us are definitely going to volunteer our time to convert other people's slide decks.
Okay, that'll help.
Yeah, so if we can give them the start and say, like, here it is, here's how you can plot. Actually, I'll show you that too. Let me, for example, if I have a look here, it's my cursor gone.
If you don't want to do slide decks, what if you want to do something else?
Well, you can do something else. As I said, it can produce ebooks and PDF documents, and it can produce straight HTML as well.
There's another format that gets used when you're doing professional documents for publication.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is now, but it's been around since like the 60s.
I believe it supports that format. I can't remember what it's called either.
TEX tech.
Text for LaTeX for.
Beamer is a plugin for the tech.
I mean, the ASCII Doctor also has a large number of plugins that work on other technologies and so forth. So I've just focused just on what we're doing here, but it actually has a large number of features in it.
Does this format support quizzes, questions and answers?
It has nice checkboxes. I've used that in one of the presentations. I actually made a release checklist that generates as a nice HTML page with checkboxes on it. Could you do it as quizzes? I don't think it natively supports that. There may be a plugin that does that. I'm not 100% sure. But because it's just HTML, you could pick your favorite JavaScript quiz engine and use that. You can also embed iframes in there. So you could probably use something like SurveyMonkey or something like that, and actually have the quiz external and just link it directly in. That would be really easy to do. It's quite an open and flexible system in that regard.
Has it been tested against all the web browsers as well, so it's compatible across Safari and Firefox?
Yeah, I assume it is. I would run it on a modern browser. I've noticed one or two little quirky things.
With Reveal, they're very good about it.
Yeah.
I can't speak to the PDF part, but Reveal's pretty good.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for coming along, and please contribute to our project.